While a lot of folks are in the midst of playoff rankings, the return of Russell Wilson, our guest knows the game of college basketball as a coach, a recruiter, a scout, now part of the fantastic Believe Podcast Network. His podcast is called The Breakdown. He was born in Massachusetts, played for Mark Jarvis, at Boston U. We give a go Terriers, and we welcome in Scott Spinelli. Scott, much appreciate the time. Great to have a chance to talk. How's life treating you?
Excellent, Stephen. Thanks for having me tonight. I'm excited to be here.
So one thing I love talking about with former players is when you harken back to some venues you got to visit. So I know when you were with BU in December of 86, you got to play Kentucky in Lexington, coached by Eddie Sutton with Rex Chapman. You know, when you harken back to those days to get to play at an arena like that, what comes to mind?
You know, great memories, Stephen. I mean, those college days, you know, you look back at them, they were the best, you know, days of your life, to be honest. I mean, you know, playing at Kentucky at Rupp Arena, back then it was Rupp, and we stayed at the hotel that was actually connected to the arena. You'd take an elevator and you'd be down, you know, on the bottom floor there, you know, at the gym. And, you know, when you get in the arena, one thing is get there and shoot around, and you kind of look around a while, but you can feel the tradition and the history. But there's another thing when the crowd comes in, and you know how knowledgeable and how passionate the fan base is there in Lexington at UK. So tremendous memory, Stephen, of playing. Unfortunately, the memory of winning and losing, you know, we came up on the short end, but that wasn't as fun. But you know, there's some great memories playing there. The tournament game we played in the Dean Dome, when the Dean Dome first opened the first year. That was another memorable experience too. So yeah, great memories. Unfortunately, we lost both games at Boston University, but you know, excellent memory, Stephen.
No, you tell people that you played, make them look it up and see who won or lost. So from 1992 through 97, Mark Turgeon was an assistant here, and then he started his head coaching career. And, of course, he's been at Wichita State, Texas A&M, Maryland, and you worked with him at all of those programs. So what could you tell us, I guess, about his career? I mean, the guy's won almost 500 games, been to the Big Dance 10 times, and just the kind of coach he is.
Well, I'll tell you, Stephen, I went to work with, we'll call him Turge, but Coach Turgeon at Wichita State for 1 year. And we had a chance to meet years ago at a coaching retreat down in Memphis. And we actually developed a good relationship, sharing ideas. It was a retreat that Coach Calipari had with Coach Larry Brown. And you know, we learned quite a bit listening to a lot of great basketball minds. And Coach Church and I developed a good relationship there. And at the time, I was at Nebraska, and you know, he had called about going to work with him at Wichita. So I got a firsthand, upfront view of Coach Turgeon as it relates to working with him at Wichita for 1 year, 4 years at Texas A&M. We had the best four-year win total in Texas A&M history. We averaged 25 wins a year. And then on to Maryland. I was there 3 years with him, helped build that thing. The year after I left, they went to the Sweet 16. And so the one thing I'll tell you about working for Coach Turgeon, number one, he's a very fiery guy. You know, a coach that actually comes across with a quiet, soft-spoken demeanor. He's from Kansas, Topeka. And when you talk to him, he's, you know, very down-to-earth, very nice guy. When you step between those lines, whether it's practice or whether it's game time, he's a very fiery, competitor, passionate coach, does a really good job at preparing his players game in and game out to be ready to play. You know, he allows his assistant coaches to do a lot of coaching, really helped me develop as a coach over the years, and he does that with all of his assistants. But, you know, family man, good guy, very good guy. And someone that's had a lot of success, you can't argue with the success he's had, you know, over the years and all the places he's been. But it was a great experience working with him for as many years as my family and I had a chance to be around him and his family.
Yeah, you were there, and I know that you've got an incredible reputation for recruiting. And when you think back to those last couple Texas A&M teams, a guy who most people, I'm sure, are familiar with now as a member of the NBA champs. But what about recruiting Chris Middleton, getting him to come to A&M, and the player he's become?
Wonderful story. And I'll tell you, one of the things, and again, going back to working for Coach Turgeon, you know, he had a trust in me as an assistant that, you know, you kind of developed over time. And so this is an interesting story. We actually saw him play at a AAU tournament. Chris Middleton was in Akron, Ohio. I was with Orlando Beano Ranson at the time, who's now an assistant at DePaul. And he said, you know, Coach, I'm going to watch a game here at I think it was a 12:30 game, and I had no game on my schedule. And I said, look, I think I'm going to take this game and go grab a coffee. And he said, no, you got to come watch this game. And I said, well, who's playing? And he said, this team from Carolina. Make a long story short, Steve, I went over to see the Carolina Celtics, was the name of the AAU team, who I'd never heard of. And right when I had walked in and saw Chris, at the time, didn't know who he was, warming up, you know, my eyes were instantaneously drawn to him. We were looking for a kid to replace Josh Cotter at the time at Texas A&M, who was kind of a 6'6" wing who could really shoot the ball. And there he was, right there. It was Chris Middleton. It just didn't take long. And so when we got back to campus, you know, I called his AU coach. We got on the phone, and you know, one thing led to another. And sometimes in recruiting, Stephen, you know, you find these diamonds in the rough. And, you know, sometimes good fortune is on your side. And what ended up happening was his family, who's from Charleston, South Carolina, wonderful family, very nice family, they actually were going to visit their extended family in Shreveport, Louisiana, 2 weekends after we made the initial contact. And they asked if they could stop by campus. And so when they came by, we asked them to bring some DVDs of Chris playing. And they came to campus. They brought DVDs. You know, we showed them around A&M. They left. And Coach Turgeon went home. This was on a Friday. He came in Monday. So you're right, you know, Spinner. You know, my nickname is Spinner. He said, Spinner, we're going to, you're right, we're going to offer Chris. So he did it based on DVDs. And it went probably about 2 weeks, Stephen, go by, and I get a call one night. I'm actually at home. I've got three children that are very young at the time, and so I get a call from Coach Turgeon, and he said, hey, listen, I got some good news and bad news. The good news is Chris Middleton just called and took the scholarship and committed. The bad news is, hey, Spinner, this kid better be able to play. So but we were blessed to get him, and, you know, he was a kid that started off at Texas A&M kind of in a, you know, very reserved, you know, went to a school called Port of God High School in Charleston, probably one of the best known, unknown private schools. They put out, you know, Chris Middleton. They have another young man that's playing right now, Aaron Nesmith with the Celtics, and they have an excellent coach here in J.P. Pearson. But, you know, we were blessed to get Chris, and obviously his freshman year, you know, he ended up being thrust into a starting position when one of our wings went down and had 19 his freshman year in the NCAA tournament, and a first round win over Utah State up in Spokane. So the rest of it speaks for itself. But great story.
It is, and I would say one that turns a second round NBA pick into a guy who just signed a $177 million contract. Not so bad, Scott. Not so bad.
You know, Stephen, the one thing I'll add to that, you don't hear this a lot about, you know, athletes, in any sport, but Chris is one of those guys that he's still the same person who he's always been, very soft-spoken. He's never forgot where he's come, you know, he came from, a down-to-earth, humble kid. And here's the thing, like, with all of the success he's had in terms of, you know, contract, you know, negotiations as it relates to, you know, extensions and max payouts. What Chris never really has been drawn to is the endorsement side. And because he really wants to kind of have his life to be his life. And so he's one of those guys that, you know, doesn't want to have any, I don't say not be bothered, but kind of stick to basketball, stick to his family, and try to focus on that side of what he does. And it's kind of a unique thing, whether it's right or wrong, but that's kind of Chris and who he is. Very, very personal in terms of his how he lives his life.
Talking with Scott Spinelli, who hosts the Breakdown podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Certainly, our program out here, Oregon, had moments under Ernie Kent, but Dana Altman has taken them next level, Final Four. And, of course, when you were at Wichita State that year, he was at Creighton. So I love to get the feel from outside our bubble here in Eugene, from your lens. Kind of what's the rep on the kind of coach Dana is and what he's built here in Eugene?
Well, you know, I got to tell you this. I would say it was with Coach Turgeon for 1 year at Wichita, but I was with three years at the University of Nebraska with Coach Barry Collier. And Creighton and Nebraska is a big rivalry,
right.
Still is. And, you know, I get my first taste of getting a chance to be on the opposite bench against Coach Altman when I was at Nebraska. And I got to tell you, his teams and the way he was able to get his teams to play together, he was way ahead of his time. You know, he had some really good players, but they played a style of basketball that we see more today, meaning a pressure defense, whether it was hard pressure, soft pressure. You know, he would play man at times. He would play matchup zone a lot. You know, he had a matchup zone back then, and he still does today. That was very effective. They really used the 3-point line. That was their weapon, and they recruited a lot of skilled guys who could pass, dribble, and shoot. And so the success he had then, this was back in the early 2000s, you could see that he was a tough, competitive, hard-nosed coach, but a player's coach, and one that really was ahead of his time even back then in terms of how he put his team together with guys who were all skilled, who could pass, dribble, and shoot, but an excellent, excellent coach.
You know, Scott, I don't remember many seasons. It seemed like that there's been like an explosion from the gate, great matchups. And tonight, you know, number 4 Villanova, number 2 UCLA from Pauly. Mick Cronin takes the Bruins to the Final Four from the first four. All 5 starters are back. They got a talented freshman in Peyton Watson. So how are we liking the Bruins and maybe their shot to get back in the running for all the marbles?
Well, that game tonight could be a prelim to a Final Four, even a national title game. UCLA, with them getting, Johnny, who's I can't, sometimes I mispronounce his name, I don't want to get it wrong.
Juzang
back, as well as, Jamie Jaquez and Tiger Campbell and all those, the newcomers and some of those kids from last year. They're a team that I believe could be, a team that could be the team to beat this year based on all of those guys coming back. I mean, everybody else brought a lot of newcomers in that they're relying on, but UCLA has pretty much their entire roster back with an extra year of, maturity, individual development, strength and condition, nutrition. So they got to be one of those teams right now that you got to look at and say they could win the whole thing. But I got to tell you this, Villanova, and this is a little bit of a long trip, obviously, coming from Philadelphia, but they're as good as they've been. I mean, this is a deep, deep Villanova team that you guys are going to see out there tonight. Colin Gillespie's back from his ACL injury. He was kind of the heartbeat of their team. And when you look at their roster, a lot of the guys that, they have, Slater, who was a kid that was out, injured. They've got pretty much everybody back that was kind of at one point or another, they were playing without this guy, without that guy. But they're at full strength this year. And they're a team that's going to be one, a really, really good game tonight out there. And the team, again, that could be a prelim, to a Final Four, even a national title game this year, especially with the depth that, Villanova's bringing out there too. So it's going to be interesting to watch that game. And again, I think the one thing is we all know, Steve, and being around college basketball, when you have teams that are older experienced. And again, UCLA has a lot of that just because they've been together so long. But Villanova's got, you know, from Colin Gillespie coming back, you know, to his fifth year, he's a graduate student. Jermaine Samuels, a local kid from Boston here, 6'7", you know, like a forward. He's got a chance to be one of those sleeper-type NBA guys, but he's also a fifth-year senior. And then they're loaded with, you know, Roundtree's back, and they've got Caleb Daniels, the transfer from, I believe he was at, like, I want to say he was at Rice, if I'm not mistaken. But he, they've got really a deep, experienced team, and a team that's going to be, you know, I'm sorry, he's at Tulane, excuse me, not Rice, Tulane. But they're a team that's really good too. So I look for that matchup tonight to be one that people can really enjoy. Two really really good teams on both sides.
Yeah, I lived in Philly 2 years, and my buddies back there who went to Nova, they're nuts for this season to get started. The last thing I want to get to is, you know, we've seen the end of eras, Bobby Knight, Bobby Bowden, and of course now we're counting it down for Coach K at Duke. And I just look, you know, won national titles, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and knowing just the cutthroat level of competition, be it in recruiting, playing in the ACC, just how remarkable has this consistent run when you think he made his first Final Four in 1986, you know, seeing Coach K wind down?
I think there's a lot of emotions for anybody that's been involved with basketball, you know, whether you've played it or you've been a fan, it, you know, you really kind of, you know, watching an icon. I mean, from what he's been able to do, you know, if you've, I don't know if you've ever been in Cameron, but, you know, Cameron really isn't a facility that you would think with that Duke University and Coach K would have made what it is today. It is a place where you, when you walk in, it's not, doesn't have all the bells and whistles and upgrades that all these, you know, facilities have. But what you can feel in there is incredible tradition and history, and, you know, how they've been able to, you know, take that program, you know, take Cameron and the fan base and the excitement, and it's just been so good for college basketball. And to watch, and even as a head coach, I got a chance to coach against Coach K. The thing that makes it even that much more remarkable is a coach that really cares so much about his players, Stephen. I mean, not just the guys that go on and play and, you know, the Kyrie Irvings and the NBA guys that he's had. You can see there's a genuine love and a commitment to his players. And I think for all of us who are coaches, you know, your legacy eventually, as many wins as you've had, and we can talk about Final Fours, you can't take all that stuff with you, but the legacy and the impact that he's had on his players and many other coaches and, you know, even opposing coaches and fans, I think that would be the biggest legacy that Coach K, in my mind, will leave behind. And it's, again, you're kind of almost sad to see it come to an end.
Folks, he's Scott Spinelli. You could follow him on Twitter. The handle is @coach_Spinelli. Kind enough to find some time to talk a bunch of college hoops with us. Check out his podcast, The Breakdown. Coach, hey, really great getting a chance to speak with you. Hope you and your family are well, you're safe. And as the season moves along, love to have you back again.
Love to come back, Stephen. Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. This was great.
All right. Have a good one.